Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Stephen Hunter, and I represent Anthony Morty. In this case, Anthony Morty was denied a fair trial. He was denied a fair trial, first, because there was late discovery, and second, because the jury selection process in this case was not fair.
You were the lawyer in the district court, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But do you really think the judge should have read 115 questions to the jurors?
Well, many of those questions, the preliminary ones, were covered by the judge's questions.
No, I understand. But is it your belief that the judge should just have read these 115 questions?
Well, my first request, and what I think the best process is, would have been to allow me to ask the jurors
to
questions.
Ask 115 questions?
Perhaps.
But how long would voir dire take with that?
I don't think it would take that much longer, and the guiding principle of voir dire these days does seem to be get them in, get them on, get it over, get it done as quickly as possible, and that...
Well, I don't think 115 questions is the most economical way of conducting a voir dire.
Well, I would think that a fair trial would be more important than judicial economy, and I don't think
I don't understand what that means.
It means that any objective observer hearing this voir dire would have no idea if these jurors harbored prejudices against the defendant.
That would take 115 questions?
Perhaps we could have edited them, but she didn't ask anything even remotely approaching the central ideas in this case. We had no idea if these people...
So you really want the jury to start focusing on Nigerians?
Judge, that was important in this case.
Have any of you ever met anyone from Nigeria? Have you ever contacted someone from Nigeria? How does this affect you, all Nigerians? That makes people think, gee, must be something wrong with Nigerians. Why is he asking me about that?
Judge, in this case, all the witnesses were from Nigeria, including two admitted drug smugglers who I, on cross-examination, I submit, showed up to be liars.
Don't you want to make that fact seem completely insignificant rather than riveting the jurors on it?
What indirect questions that were designed to reveal ethnic biases did you submit that Judge Bucklow refused to ask?
Well, I asked a series of questions about whether or not they'd had unpleasant experiences with anybody from Nigeria. Generally, it was my concern that my client would be viewed as untrustworthy just on the basis of his ethnicity. So I wanted to ask questions about jurors' experiences with other people with the same ethnicity. But I was denied.
And the government brief indicated that Judge Bucklow brought 24 of the 40 potential jurors to a sidebar with you and counsel for the government, and that you were allowed to question the individual jurors.
That's not correct, Judge. So 24 came in sidebars to reveal embarrassing things they didn't want to talk about openly, like drug use or relatives with criminal history. I was never allowed to question any juror about ethnicity. Most of those sidebars, unless a juror proactively volunteered some subject, I wasn't allowed to ask them anything. And if they did proactively volunteer a certain subject, I was limited to questions on that subject.
In other words, you're saying that Judge Bucklow said, Mr. Hunter, you may not mention the word Nigerian?
As I said earlier, my request was that I be allowed to ask jurors myself. She said, no, I'm going to conduct the voir dire. Then when I submitted the questions, including that subject matter, she said, I'm not going to ask all of these questions. And when we went to a sidebar, the purpose of the sidebar would have been to respond to the issues raised by the jurors.
Voir dire was over. Did you say to her? Did you say, you know, I'd like you to ask some additional questions?
No, Judge. It's been my experience that if I question a judge's order after she's clearly ruled, I will only antagonize her and I will not get her to change her mind.
I don't understand that because usually judges say after they've conducted the voir dire, they ask the lawyers if there's anything else they want the judge to ask. And if the judge doesn't say that, still, it's not rude. You can say to the judge, well, you know, the Could you ask a few more questions, right?
Well, I didn't say it quite so pointedly, but if you look at the transcript at the end of the voir dire, say page 100 to 105, what you will see is me bringing up concerns about the two jurors who don't speak English, whether or not they understood the presumption of innocence, whether or not they understood what the word presumption means.
Wasn't that a good point for you to say, I'd like to hear something about Nigerians? Because, look, when the judge conducts the voir dire, you don't know until the end exactly what the judge has asked, let alone what the jurors have answered. So it's entirely appropriate to say to the judge, I'd like you to ask some additional questions on the basis of what you said and what they said and so on. So wasn't that the time for you to say, Judge, you know, I think it's really important to ask these people whether they harbor hostile feelings toward Nigerians?
Well, I didn't re-request that. I did it several times during the before the trial started and with my submissions, and the judge said no. Perhaps I should have re-raised
the
question.
The judge said no, you can't conduct the voir dire. Did she say, no, you can't ask, or I'm not going to ask them about Nigerians?
That is my recollection. Is it not Nigerians specifically.
Not mention them.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Did she just not raise the issue in her voir dire, or did she actually tell you that she was not going to ask them about prejudice?
No, she did not affirmatively say she was not going to ask them about prejudice. She did affirmatively say that she would not get into legal concepts like the presumption of innocence and proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
I understand, but so it's not as if she ruled before trial that she wasn't going to ask about prejudice. It's just that after you heard her voir dire, you realized she hadn't asked about it. So that was your chance to ask her to ask some additional questions.
Well, I submitted questions for her to ask. She had the submissions.
Well,
she did not ask them.
Of all 115. So if she left things out, it didn't show that she had made up her mind firmly that she wasn't going to ask about Nigerians.
Well, she didn't ask any of the questions other than preliminary matters as to, you know, what you do for a living and that sort of thing. So I concluded from that she was not going to ask my questions. When I file a written submission requesting that these questions
but
be put to...
But it was unreasonable. You don't want to submit 115 questions to a judge.
She could easily have said, I'll only ask these and not those.
Easy. Look, when you flood judges with paper, they get impatient. They don't want to read through 115 questions.
Well, Judge, at the end of the trial, at the end of the voir dire process, I don't think anybody could look at the record and say, okay, we know whether or not these people have a bias or a prejudice based on ethnicity.
Well, then
we
you should have said to her, you should have said, look, you didn't read my 100, I mean, put it more politely, you could say you didn't read my 115 questions, all right, that's fine. But still, your voir dire was so abbreviated that you didn't cover what's very, very important in a case like this. Is prejudice because, you know, maybe people are hostile to Nigerians because of these scams that everybody experiences on the Internet. So,
but at the end,
I'm
sorry, Judge.
Yeah, so you should have, I think, pushed her a little on that.
Perhaps I should have, and if I failed in that, I would hope that it wouldn't be held against my client. But I did bring up other issues, like whether or not these jurors understood the concepts that jurors are supposed to understand. There was a time in this country when...
I understand your point about presumption of innocence. The judge instructs that they have to prove guilt beyond... They have to find guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. What does it add to that to talk about a presumption of innocence?
Judge, it used to be that the first question a judge would ask a juror is, as the defendant sits there today, is he guilty or not? And the jury would always say, I don't know, I haven't heard any evidence, and he would be excused as an object lesson for what the presumption of innocence means. Jurors are no longer educated to that. They don't know what presumption of innocence means. They're told, and in this case...
Well, I don't think it means anything once you're
trial.
That's
a bit of an overstatement, isn't it? That jurors don't even understand any of this stuff?
I don't believe that they do, many of them. I mean, perhaps some do, but when the voir dire consists of essentially raise your hand if you're unfair or biased, I mean, almost every question cited in the government's brief as in support of their position on page 45 ends with, is there anybody who would not be able to follow that rule? Even the way she phrased her questions discouraged response. She says, with regard to presumed innocent, a defendant is always presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. That's just crucial to our whole system and what we believe in. Is there anybody who would not follow that rule?
Well,
who's going to raise
so
their hand to that?
What are you complaining about?
I'm sorry?
What are you complaining about?
I'm complaining because that discourages any kind of response.
Well, I understand. She said presumed innocent until proved guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. What more do you want?
I want her to ask individual jurors, do you know what that means? Do you have a problem with that?
I understand. What, know what it means? What does that mean, know what it means?
It means...
You know, we discourage judges from defining proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So how does that conversation go? What if the judge says, well, tell me, what does... Could you elaborate on what proof beyond a reasonable doubt means?
I see my red light is on. I'm happy to go forward if I'm allowed.
Sure.
Well, if you ask the question I said earlier, if, as he sits there today, is he innocent or guilty? And if the juror says, well, I don't know, I haven't heard the evidence, clearly that person doesn't understand. And
So what did you want the judge to ask? Do you know what proof beyond a reasonable doubt means? Is that what you want?
Or at a minimum to say to them, without having heard any evidence, you have to assume he's not guilty. You can't think, oh, well, I'm going to make up my mind after I've heard all of the evidence, because people come in there at best open-minded to the proposition. They don't presume the defendant innocent unless a judge explains to them what that means and what they're required to do.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hunter.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Arthur?
May it please the Court, my name is Diane MacArthur and I represent the United States. I was one of the attorneys at trial for Mr. Morty below. Mr. Morty received a fundamentally fair voir dire process in this case. The District Court, asked the majority of topics covered by the proposed submission of Mr. Morty. Indeed, she spent several moments with this jury trying to make sure that this was a fair panel to judge Mr. Morty's case.
Several moments? Aren't general questions to a jury as a whole regarding whether jurors would be able to decide fairly without regard to race or ethnicity essentially useless? I mean, isn't it extremely unlikely that jurors will raise their hand and acknowledge being prejudiced unless they're so desperate to get off a jury? If there's a potential for a verdict to be influenced by prejudice, why shouldn't we require that the questions be asked in a manner that at least is likely to reveal those prejudices? Why not bring them over? We're talking about 40 people. Why not bring them over and just say, look, he's Nigerian. Do you have any bias against Nigerians? I'm just hearkening back to my district court days, and it's true that I took a lot longer to get juries than most judges did, but boy, people told the truth when everyone else wasn't listening.
Judge, the moments that the judge spent were significant. The first time she raised the issue of prejudice and concern was after the jurors had provided background information about themselves. The court then asked the pointed questions of the jurors that are set forth at page 45 of the government's brief, and that included references to the presumption of innocence as well as the fact that Mr. Morty was from Nigeria. The court, at that process, let the jury know that if they had questions or had any feedback, they could either raise their hands or ask to be heard at sidebar. Many of the jurors on this panel did indeed raise their hands and ask questions in open court. And to assure Your Honor that this was a fair panel and that it wasn't a group that was reluctant to speak, many of the jurors raised their hands and spoke openly in front of others. Many of them did request to go to sidebar. When they were at sidebar, they were questioned, and I believe that Judge Bucklow did listen to the party's requests for additional questions, and those questions could have been raised at that time.
Were any excused for cause?
Yes, Your Honor, there were several excused for cause.
And was the cause because they did not like Nigerians?
No, Judge, when she asked the question of the entire panel, no one raised their hand. Mr. Morty did not request any additional questioning during the sidebar conferences. And at the end of all of the sidebar colloquy, the judge, and this is another one of those moments, returned to the entire panel and asked if there was anything she hadn't asked that caused any of them to be unfair. I'd like to, though, address the issue that Mr. Morty has raised and also to perhaps allay Your Honor's concern about prejudice and reluctance to speak, and that is even the questions raised by Mr. Morty don't necessarily give jurors that opportunity to speak privately. In other words, Judge, the questions that he poses as the proposed voir dire on the issue of race and ethnicity, six of them, I think he poses about six questions. Four of the six actually require a yes or no answer. It's really only two questions, essentially, after establishing whether somebody had contact with Nigerians that are open-ended. And those questions are, what was the contact, what was it, and how does that affect your view of all Nigerians? Now, those, I guess, are the indirect questions that Mr. Morty is referring to, but neither of those questions necessarily are designed to make somebody more comfortable in answering the prejudice question. Instead, they're designed to have Mr. Morty try to glean from the answers, indirect answers, whether the individual is, in fact, prejudiced.
How many peremptory challenges did he have?
I don't remember, Your Honor. I believe he had nine, if I remember correctly.
How many did he use?
I believe he used all nine, Your Honor.
All nine?
Yes.
Tell me, just curious, do all the judges in the Northern District of Illinois follow the same voir dire procedure?
Not all do, Your Honor. It seems now that they fall into two different approaches. One will question jurors in segments and ask for strikes on those individualized groups. The trend, if I could call it that, I think now is instead to question the entire veneer. In this case, there were 40 prospective jurors, to have them answer personal background questions and then general questions concerning the submissions by the parties. The parties are then asked to make their strikes, usually after some sidebar conferences or discussion about excusals for cause.
How long did the voir dire take?
It took the morning, Your Honor. I believe we started at about 9:30 or 10. We were finished somewhere around the lunch hour break, 12:30 or 1, and we began.
How long did the trial take after that?
The trial was about 5 days. The whole trial lasted 6 days. Jury selection lasted the morning. Mm-hmm. Five and a half days, to be absolutely accurate.
There's, I think, a lot of things that we do better in Wisconsin than you do in Illinois.
No, impossible.
Having tried and picked hundreds and hundreds of juries, in my experience, what I would do, and I'd offer this as a better system, is the judge conducts the voir dire. When you're all done, you call the lawyers up and say, I'll give you a little time, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You want to be sure that's not going to last forever. And if most of the time the lawyers came up and said, you know, you covered everything, I don't have anything to say, and that ends the issue. But if a lawyer in this case were to come up after that had happened and said, you know, I really would like to ask a few of these questions about Nigeria, I think the judge probably ought to let, not that it's wrong not to do it, I think this is a better procedure to do it, and let the lawyers ask a few questions. So what? As long as they're not going to take a lot of time.
Judge, I agree, Judge, but in this particular case, there was that at least potential moment in time that Mr. Morty could have taken advantage of for that very purpose. The judge, after all of the dialogue and the sidebar conferences, excused the jury, and they went out into the hallway. And it was at that moment that Mr. Morty raised his concern about one of the jurors, Ms. Vukovic. We discussed that. The judge asked if there was anything in addition that she could have asked of that juror that would have satisfied Mr. Morty's concerns about her ability to understand English, and there were no additional questions posed. I point that out just because there was at least that moment in time where there was discussion about jurors, and at least that moment before the strikes were given when it was possible to raise concerns. I wanted to emphasize, too, that Mr. Morty did not ask during those moments for any additional questions about concerns about any particular juror or the jury panel in general about their prejudices or possible prejudices about people from Nigeria. The reference to the transcript of page 100 is the one that I mentioned, Your Honor, Judge Evans, where the judge did give the opportunity for additional questions. And I think the record is clear.
How often in the trial were Nigerians mentioned, or his being Nigerian? Was that an issue?
The the first question, Your Honor, did it come out that he was from Nigeria? I think probably only came out through his testimony, the fact that perhaps he was born in Nigeria. I don't remember that specific statement being made. But the two cooperators, one was a U.S. citizen, the other was born in Nigeria, but each had spent significant time there. The bulk of the testimony had to do with their travels to Nigeria, at times on behalf of Mr. Morty, to pick up drugs. And so Nigeria played a role as the site of the source of the drugs, and less as to Mr. Morty's own ethnic origin. Mm-hmm. I don't want to mislead Your Honor. The fact that Nigeria was involved in this case,
It
was clear, yes. And Mr. Morty does speak with a slight accent, and so that may have been clear to the jurors. But the real focus about Nigeria was as the source of the site or the travel. Mm-hmm. I wanted to emphasize, too, that Judge Bucklow, in terms of the jury selection, was very accommodating in listening to the parties' questions and suggestions about additional inquiry. And I think based on that pattern that she established through her handling of other questions, I think would have been susceptible or would have been accommodating to additional questions raised by the parties. If there are no further questions of Your Honors, I would simply
thank you very much, Mr. MacArthur, and thank you to Mr. Hunter. Your time has expired.